Sounds a little empty in here this morning. Y'all gonna have to make it sound full, you know, just get real full. Hello, yeah, amen, you know, stuff like that. Somebody give me a real low amen. All right, now some of you ladies, amen. All right, praise God, we got it now. We got all the octaves covered. Praise God. We remember I was talking last Sunday about the lady I stopped and helped. You know, just an everyday thing that you do. And I got on our Healing River Worship Center Facebook page, got a message from Georgia this week. And a lady from Georgia said, we love your pastor, you know, talking to you. So I'm just wanting you to know that. That we've heard about him all the way down here in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, about I helped a childhood friend of hers. And next time you're in Atlanta, Georgia, please come to World Harvest Church in Atlanta, Georgia. So you never know what one little act, you know. I thought, wow, all the way from Georgia. So we might go through Georgia sometime. Atlanta, Georgia. I fly in and out of there a lot, but you have to really want to do something over there to go through Atlanta, because the traffic is something else. But plus, it just keeps going on and on forever. We're going to be looking today at great gain. How many wants great gain in your life? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about something that brings great gain in your life. And it's not normally what you hear about gain, you know, preaching about gain. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. I think it starts with verse 1. It says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many arrows. And somehow, I left out verse 6. How did that happen? Computers are awesome. I keep telling myself that. That's why I bring my Bible every time. In verse 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what I was going to be preaching on. Somehow I got left out of the verses. How'd that happen? Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, you said a while ago that you want great gain in your life. Well, we've been talking about fullness, having a life of fullness. And fullness is determined by the concept of the individual. It's not each one of us have to determine what it is to have a full life. And everybody has a different concept of that. What is it that makes you feel full? What is it that makes you feel like your life is complete? And we as Americans, we seldom know what it means to be content. That's not a normal state of being for us. America has always promoted bigger and better. And we always go after bigger and better. Excuse me. And because of that, we have brought a lot of innovation and a lot of blessing and enlargement to the world. This country has enriched the whole world because of the fact that we have produced. We've been a producing nation. And there was a time when people felt fulfilled in the fact that they were able to produce something. And we've been the mentality of America has been changing. I've talked about this before, but our mentality has been changing. And now instead of feeling a fulfillment about what we can produce, most people look to what they can buy as a fulfillment. But the problem with that is there's always something bigger and better. What you bought today will be obsolete, especially when you're talking about technology. I mean, technology just keeps going and going and going and going. I've got this little $99 phone. They call it a smartphone. It's smart enough for me. It's a Droid Mini, and it costs $99. Been using it for a long time. Does anything and everything I want to do. And yet they're constantly coming out with all these new phones that cost $700, $800. And to me, I look at it and I think, why is it important to pay that much money for a new phone when I got something that works? Now I realize if you do your business on your phone, then it's getting tight in here already. I realize that we have to keep up with the latest and greatest. You know, you're always getting updates. You know that they're always wanting to update stuff. You know, it'll say, you got a new update for this, you got a new update for this. And my mentality is, it's working, why bother with it? But they just keep bugging you, you know, update. And then you update something, and then it causes a problem that you didn't have before, but you got all this new stuff, but you got new problems. And now it's like, what works here and what works there and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm not real great. I'm not real keen. You know, technology to me works great when it works, but most of the time it doesn't. Thus the hum. We're getting ready to change a lot of that, and I'm just wondering just how much is that going to change? Don't increase the hum just because I said that. We conquered it. We conquered the hum recently. We took everything apart, put it all back together, have no idea what we did, but when we got through, it didn't hum. And then we had a wedding here a few weeks ago, and they dismantled the platform, and we put it all back together, and we have the hum. You know, if we were Buddhists, it'd be good. You know, we could all just sit in here and go, hum. You know, we'd be in tune. We'd all just be humming. But godliness with contentment is Paul said, is great gain. Now, we as Christians, we've got to try to come to a place where we understand what great gain is. We have the promise of provision. We have the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which takes money. Try to do it without it. I would, but God hadn't seen fit to do that yet. You know, I would like to bypass the airplane fares and all that kind of stuff, but it hadn't happened yet. You know, I've told God so many times that it'd be so much cheaper if He would just translate me there, let me preach, and translate me back. You know, no money would have to exchange hands. You know? When we look at that, at the things that we have, We have to decide what part of it is commission, what part of it is fulfilling what we're supposed to do, and what part is just greed. What part is just want? What part is actually need? I've said many times that we as Americans are not stressed out over our needs. We are stressed out over our blessings. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Betty, for sending me a message. I'll read it later. Technology is awesome. It just popped up that Betty just sent you a message. Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate that. She's probably telling me to be nice. That's probably what she's doing. Be nice. She's always telling me that. Be nice. Say thank you. Say please. You know, stuff like that. When we look at what Paul is saying there, he's talking about how you act on your job. Here's talking about masters. We don't like to refer to our bosses as masters. And yet, you know, what else are they? You know, they sign your paycheck. They tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And so he's talking about masters. And he's talking about how we respond to masters. In other words, let our conduct on the job be as such that does not bring a reproach to the gospel. When our conduct brings a reproach to the gospel, then we have just destroyed any effect of the gospel. If we gripe and complain a lot, then we're not going to have any influence. We have had influence, but it's been negative influence. Amen. It says that we should honor, give them all honor. All honor. Amen. Boy, it's hard sometimes, especially when you don't like them, isn't it? Give them all honor. And conduct yourself in a right way. And then Paul goes on to say, and if your master or boss, whatever you want to say, is a believer, then don't be envious of them. Have you ever noticed that there's contempt among Christians? Amen. If somebody has something and you don't, you know, all criticism, a critical attitude is always based in a spirit of jealousy. Stop and think about that. When somebody constantly criticizes, it's because they're actually jealous of people that have what they don't have. And so they want to somehow bring them down, tear them down. And when we conduct ourselves in a manner, if we are working for somebody that is a believer, Paul said that be happy with that because all the money is going to believers. Isn't that awesome? Amen. In other words, the profit is going to those who believe. So if we work for somebody that's a believer, if they have more than we have, we should not be contentious about that, but we should honor them and be thankful that they have more than you have, because if they didn't have more than you have, they wouldn't be able to pay you. Oh, come on. Woo! Glory. That was good. Amen. I've never had a poor person support me. Amen. I have helped a lot of poor people. I have supported a lot of poor people. But I've never had them write me a paycheck. Amen. It's people that have money that help others have money. Something our government has got to learn, you know. Bernie Sanders, you might like Bernie Sanders. I really don't care if you like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a socialist trying to push socialist ideas on this country, and yet somehow a socialist made over $1 million this year. They don't believe it. What they're wanting to do is force everybody else into a corral so that they can pull the money out of them. Amen. Poor people do not support people. Okay? So in light of that, we have to stop and ask ourselves, the Bible says that we are to give and we're to help. So obviously we have to have something to give. But Paul is saying here that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, the word godly means to have a Godward attitude. It means an attitude, it does that which is pleasing to God. An attitude that does that which is pleasing to God. That's a godly attitude. A godly life is one that strives to please God. Contentment is a sense of inward sufficiency. Wow. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but when's the last time you felt inwardly sufficient? Most people do not feel inwardly sufficient. Matter of fact, the need for sufficiency, the need to feel better about yourself, drives marketing in the United States. If it wasn't for the feeling a lack, feeling like something's missing, something's wrong, something's not here, something's not right, marketing would not work. But marketing works by making you feel like you need something, or if you had this, you would be better. Amen. So marketing the whole concept of marketing is to try to either access your greed or access your obsession. One or the other. You know, you got to have this. People today, young people today, and even children are so obsessed with their clothing and the things. They don't know how to just feel good about themselves. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. They don't feel good about themselves unless they have the right stuff. Where'd that come from? It come from a nation that is obsessed with fulfilling a need that can never be met. Because this type of need, this is what Paul's talking about, is contentment. I love to work for wealthy people. I hate working for rich people. You say, well, there's no difference. Yes, there is. There is a huge difference. Rich people are those that are obsessed with gaining money, and therefore they don't want to give you any of it unless they have to. In other words, if you work for them, the whole time you're working for them, they're trying to figure out how to not give you as much as what you deserve. And then if they do, they have an attitude about it and they gripe and complain about it. They find fault with everything. Those are rich people. They're obsessed with gaining money. And nothing will make them happy except gaining more money, and yet that doesn't make them happy. And it's never enough. You know, money's never enough. Wealthy people, on the other hand, are those that have wealth and are excited and happy about what they can do with it. In other words, if they can pay you a good salary, it excites them. Amen. I've actually worked for people that when I turned in my time, turned in what they owed me, instead of having that attitude, how many hate the attitude? You know, well, you wasn't worth it, but I guess I'll pay you. Oh, my goodness. Woo! That goes all over me. You know, hair stands up on the back of my neck, you know, kind of thing. But I've actually worked for people that look at it and say, oh, man, you did good this week. And excited to write the check out to me. It's like, I love you. I work for you. How many know what I'm talking about? If you've never experienced that, I hope you do. Because I've actually worked for people that are excited to write a check out to you. And I've actually worked for people that when they looked at my time, they've said that's not enough and added more to it. Nothing makes you feel more respected. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, it makes you want to do more. It makes you want to do better. Amen. Makes you want to help better. Wealthy people love to what they can do with their wealth in other people's lives. And they don't mind spending the money. Amen. Praise God. I've built stuff for people that they willingly overpaid for. And that is so different. You know? I mean, so different. There's been times that I've handed them the bill, thinking, you know, expecting the, you know, and them just say, oh, man, that's great. That's great. That's a wealthy person. Amen. It's not that they are not concerned or keep track of what they do. It's that they're not obsessed by the gain. They love the flow. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Have I communicated that right yet? Amen. That's what I want to communicate. I worked for a guy the other day on a houseboat, had a problem. Some problems they couldn't figure out. And normally I don't work with the houseboats, but this guy's just a good guy, and I wanted to help him. He's also very wealthy. And so I thought, okay, I'll help him out. And I went down, and I worked half a day and could not find the problem. I mean, I crawled through that thing. If you've ever been at those houseboats, they've got about this much room in the belly of them, and it's full of air conditioning and you know, everything, and you have to crawl over. Anybody that knows me knows that that is not an atmosphere for me. Okay? That's a forced thing. And I have to pray in tongues the whole time to keep from having to pay for the damage done to the boat. Because when I get hung up under there, you know what I'm talking about? I spent half a day trying to find it and could not find the problem. Could not find the problem. And I told him, I said, I'm going to have to come back and I'm going to have to check some other stuff. And he said, well, how much do I owe you? I said, you don't owe me a thing. I didn't help you. I didn't fix anything. And he handed me $100. And I said, no, you don't owe me anything. He said, would you just take that? Those are wealthy people. You know what I'm talking about? And then I came back and finally was able to find the problem and found out it wasn't a problem. It was a mislabeled circuit breaker. And I found that out. Easy, simple. I got ready to leave. I said, I really didn't fix anything. That's just, you know, it was just mislabeled. You need to get a labeler and put a label on that. And he said, well, how much do I owe you? I said, you've already paid me. And he said, no, I didn't. He handed me $200 that time. You know, working for people like that are people that are not obsessed with the gain. You know, in other words, they're not obsessed with getting something. But they enjoy the flow. They enjoy what they can do with it. This is what we've got to do, understand as children of God. Contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain, does not mean that you're willing to sit with nothing and do nothing. That's what a lot of people see contentment as, is you just have no motivation. You know, is it Sweden or Switzerland, the socialists? You're just in Switzerland. Sweden? I read an article said that they are the most content people in the world. They did a study. They're the most content people in the world. And, you know, they were touting this thing. You know, it's a socialist country, and they're touting this, that they are the most content people in the world. But when you read further into the article, you realize why they are content, because they never have any hope of gaining anything. In other words, it doesn't matter how hard they work, it doesn't matter how much money they make, the government takes almost 80% of their income all the money they make, and they redistribute it. And so it doesn't matter what kind of job you got. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how much you apply yourself. You will never get out of the little apartment you live in. You'll never be able to buy a car. You'll never be able to do anything. Why? Because everything is taken from you. So they quit trying. They quit trying to advance. They quit trying to make better in their life. And they just simply settle down to the fact that I'm born, I live, I die, and I can never gain anything. So that's what they call contentment. It means that you have no opportunity. That's not contentment. Know what I'm talking about? Contentment is being able to be blessed and yet not be changed when you're not blessed. That's contentment. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Praise God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The kind of contentment that the Bible's talking about here, the kind of contentment Paul's talking about, is the contentment that you have an inward sufficiency regardless of your outward circumstances. Amen. Everybody remember that. You have an inward sufficiency regardless of your outward circumstances. In other words, if this has been a rough week, you're not changed by the rough week. Amen. I turned in my time to a secretary yesterday. No, it wasn't yesterday. It's Friday. And she was just kind of frazzled. And she said, "Man," she said, "this, I'm just going to be glad when this day is over with." The computer system technology had failed her. It had went down on them, and they'd been working all the time, and she couldn't get her work done. She couldn't do things properly because they were having technical problems. And so when I turned my time in, she had to call people and ask how we do it. And finally they said, "Just do it the old-fashioned way, write it out." Anyway, she said, "I just can't wait for this day to be over with." I said, "Oh," I said, "one day rolls into the next." And she started laughing. And she said, "I just love the way you handle things." She didn't understand. Sometimes I get stressed. I mean, I don't get stressed. I get intense. If I get stressed, I start making things happen. You know what I'm talking about? But I said, "I'll just, one day rolls into the next." I said, "You know, today rolls into tomorrow. It'll be full of, you know, it'll be okay." And I could tell that she was so full of stress because she just started laughing uncontrollably. And actually dropped her head down on the desk, just laid there on her desk laughing. And I just stood there for a minute. She said, "I just love that attitude." She said, "I need to remember that. I need to hang on to that attitude." And she didn't realize I'd had a really rough week myself. I've got an injured leg that is just killing me, and I have struggled with it, and it was getting better, and I re-injured it 3 times this week. And so I've worked on one leg all week, climbing ladders. There was a whole dock I had to change out life, and I had to put up, and handle a ladder and work 30 feet in the air changing out these lights with a knee that was just killing me and not working. You know what I'm talking about? That could be a bad week, couldn't it? Amen. And I had to contemplate my moves. Normally, I don't think about anything. I'm just going. But I had to stop and say, okay, now if I walk over there, if I get this, if I do this, how can I, you know, and because it was a struggle to get there and to get back, to get things done. It was a real struggle. And it was painful. And it hurt. And it wears you out. But at the end of the week, I wasn't stressed out. Why? Because it doesn't matter what your outward circumstances in. If you have sufficiency in your heart, if you're okay inside, then the outward things, the challenges, aren't going to affect you and drive you. Okay? That doesn't happen just because you just have a good attitude. That happens because you work at it. It is not something, you don't just get to the place where you just hear angels singing all the time, you know? I mean, you have a choice to make. I can either really feel bad about this, or I can just take it as this is just another day, this is what happens, I'm going to be okay, we're just going to keep moving. Okay? When we understand that, then we understand that we have the ability to proceed. Amen. We have hope that we can do it. But when we are driven by our obsessions, when we are driven by desires, when we are driven by needs, then every day is stressful. Every day is hard. And it gets harder because every day your list grows, and so after a while, it's not the things that you have need of, it's the things that you want, you desire, and these become pressures and stresses in your life that don't even exist. But next thing you know, you're totally stressed out, under so much, you can't enjoy where you're at because you only want, you're obsessed with where you want to be. Amen. We have to learn the lesson that Paul learned. And he said, I have learned. It doesn't mean that he just got a download from heaven and all of a sudden God zapped him and he just went, ah. No. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, Paul was saying, I have learned that me and God's okay when I'm poor. We're okay when I'm rich. When I've got a lot, me and God's okay. When I've got nothing, me and God's okay. That's hard to learn, isn't it? My experience is that when Christian people get blessed, God disappears from their life. When Christian people get poor, then God is the fault. And why aren't you blessing me? Where have you gone? God, why aren't you doing this? That's not contentment. That's not flowing in the presence of God. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion or $5. Your spiritual condition should not be bothered by that. Amen. Because it don't matter if you've got a lot or if you've got a little, you've got God. Amen. Now, Paul told the church in Philippians, In verse 19, we pray it, we speak it every Sunday morning. He said, because of your giving, because you have been faithful to supply, he said, my God shall supply, and the word supply means fill to the full your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of riches, isn't it? Amen. So it doesn't matter how much you have or what you don't have, your spiritual condition should not be determined by your circumstances or how much what you have in your life. Amen? What an awesome thing to be able to be all right when things aren't all right. That's an amazing thing. Amen. Amazing thing. Praise God. If we can learn to do that, I have been around people that when something goes wrong, their life just goes into explosive, you know, everything's wrong, and they actually become the reason for their problems. Amen. Instead of making it better, they actually create the scenario that makes their life not work. Amen. But when you're around somebody that knows contentment, when things go wrong, you just simply back up and get a view out, look it over, decide what you're going to do, and you ask God to help you, and you proceed. Contentment will always cause you to proceed. The lack of contentment will lock you up when things don't look like they're proceeding. Amen. When we're able to, you know, Christianity really needs to get a hold of this. All of us need to get a hold of this. If we believe what we believe, then it should be in our life all the time. Amen. When things are just not going right, you know. I blew up one time. I had myself a fit one time in my life. And, you know, I learned a lesson. I was a teenager. And I was hot-headed. And I was very rambunctious. I mean, I like for things to go, and I like to get things done. And I was working on my car. I was 16 years old. I was working on my old car. It was an old Ford LTD. Black. Part of it was black. The paint was coming off of it. Looked like a funeral home car. Big four-door tank. And on the door, it had in shoe polish, "Just Married." That's the car I drove when I was 16 years old. Yeah. And I was working on it one day, trying to fix something. And the wrench I was working with under the hood slipped. I busted my knuckles. Immediately, I jumped in the air, kicked the side of the car, and turned around and threw the wrench as hard as I could throw it. And then I stood there watching that wrench go off down into the trees and the leaves. And I thought, I will never be able to find that. And I turned around and looked at the side of my car, and I had dented the side of my car. I kicked it so hard. And I stood there for a minute, and I thought to myself, that really accomplished a lot, didn't it? How stupid. And that was my last fit. Haven't thrown one since. Why? Because it just don't do any good. It's stupid. Woo! Boy, that went over heavy. We got some fit throwers in this house. You better go to the piano, sis. I'm starting to meddle now. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said that my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. When we understand the provision of God, we understand that God's got this. Amen. We've had it, me and God's had a lot of conversations, and He has got me to understand that it's not His fault. But He's also helped me to understand that I need to improve in some areas. How many know you never stop improving? Amen. When God blesses you with a lot, and that lot possesses you, then you have not been blessed, you have been cursed. Amen. But when God can bless your life, and it just simply releases you to enjoy the flow, then you've been blessed. Amen. You've been blessed. And I'm going to stop right there because I've got a whole lot more. And if I start this next phase, Sister Val's going to have to go sit back down. Because it gets a little more in depth. But supply, fill to the full. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to enjoy the journey. But I don't want myself to enjoy the journey. You know, most of the stuff that I get stressed about doesn't have that much to do with me. Most of the stuff I get stressed out about is all the people and all the things that I need to be doing. And don't have and can't seem to get there. But then when I can get there, it's awesome. It's amazing. You know? It's wonderful. That buzz is messing with my contentment. Woo! Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I could throw my second fit. If that buzz doesn't go away, you might see the second fit because wires and stuff is going to start disappearing out of this house. When we're able to receive blessing, then blessing will flow. But when the amount determines your happiness, then you're obsessed with something. You're controlled by something. So let's stand with me today. I am trying to talk myself out of making this next statement because I can't go there yet. Okay? You got to stand up. We got to stop this. Praise God. But contentment. How many want to have great gain in your life again? I want to have great gain. Raise your hand if you want to have great gain in your life. Great gain means to be released from obsessions and needs. Amen. It means to be content. If you can make it today, if you can't make it today. To be able to, you know, I've told it different times here. But I remember one time when me and Betty were a whole lot poorer than we are now. And we were supposed to preach in Oklahoma, at a church in Oklahoma. I was an evangelist. I know all evangelists have a lot of money. I've heard that. Never experienced it, but I've heard that. We were holding revivals, and we were asked to come to Oklahoma and Tulsa. We went out there. We had to borrow the money from Betty's mom and dad to put gas in the tank enough to get out there, believing that we'd have enough to get home. We went out there. We preached. We did our best. We'd done everything we knew to do. The last night on Sunday night, everybody shook our hand. The pastor shook our hand, said thank you. Everybody left. They locked the church up. Me and Sister Betty went out, got in the car, and we just sat there because they didn't give us a dime. It took 3/4 of a tank of gas to get out there. That old car we had just burned gas terrible. Got 11 miles a gallon on the highway. I mean, it was in bad shape. We had less than 1/4 of a tank of gas. Sitting in the parking lot, it was dark. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any food. We didn't have anything. And less than 1/4 of a tank of gas. And Betty said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm not going to call the pastor and tell him that he needs to give me some money. If they didn't want to do that in the first place, then, you know, I'm just simply not going to do that." And we sat there a few minutes and we prayed. And finally I said, "I'm just going to go home." I started the car up, put it in drive, took off. We just prayed, "God, we're in your hands." Didn't have anything, but I said, "God, we're in your hands. Help us get home." We took off driving. Shortly outside of Tulsa, the car was on empty. And we just kept driving. And just kept driving. And kept driving. We drove all the way home on empty. No gas in the tank. And we drove all the way home. You know, if I would have got real torqued and upset and felt abused and felt mistreated and all that kind of stuff, if we'd have took that avenue, we wouldn't have got home that night. But we just said, "God, we're in your hands." That car drove all the way home. We pulled in the driveway, and in the screen door of our house, we never shut this. It was a sliding door, and we never shut that screen door, and it was shut. And we got home about 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out, walked up there, and there's a $50 bill stuck in the screen door of our house. Have no idea who put it there. And so we was able to pay Betty's mom and dad back for the money that we borrowed and had a little bit left over. And the next day, I got in that car and drove all the way to Branson. And then did the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I put gas in that car. I've often thought if I hadn't put gas in that car, we might have still been driving that old jalopy. Because it might still be running on nothing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Sometimes you don't have anything, and yet God will show up, and God will get you there. Amen? He'll get you there. He'll be there for you. And other times you have abundance. But that does not determine your relationship with God.